From Islamic Finance News, the world's leading Islamic finance news provider, this is IFN Podcast.
Hi, welcome to IFN Podcast. My name is Nasreen, the news editor at Islamic Finance News, and I'm your host today. Our guest in this episode is Dunya Bashiti, the co-founder and CEO of Capify, a Jordan-based company that provides growing tech companies with quick, non-dilutive capital against annual recurring revenue. Thank you so much for being here with us, Dunya.
Thank you, Nasreen, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
So let's talk about the non-dilutive or dilutive capital, which is the type of financing for a business where the owner is not required to give up equity or ownership. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. It is correct. So if you want, I'll give you a little bit of background. So this kind of financing is mostly targeted towards technology startups. The main source of financing for technology startups is mainly through equity financing, where they have to give away some sort of their equity against an investment. While in non-dilutive financing or alternative financing, this is where it's basically you're providing them with a facility and they can pay you back the facility against certain fixed terms.
Okay. And let's talk a little bit about the scene in Jordan, especially when it comes to Islamic financing offerings, okay? Like particularly in the tech startup scene, I'm very interested in knowing why you and Capify decided to go for Sharia compliant solutions instead of non-Islamic financing. Can you tell us a little bit about that choice?
Yes, sure. So in general, in Jordan, Islamic financing offering has been gaining a lot of traction. Like many of the major commercial banks, like Arab Bank, have their Islamic arm, or even those that don't have an Islamic arm actually offer Islamic products like murabaha, tawarruq, or any of the other Islamic products. And Jordan is very serious about developing the Islamic financing industry. It has a supportive regulatory framework, especially the central bank. They've implemented a lot of regulations to make it easier for Islamic financial institutions to operate. In terms of demand, there's a really rise in demand for Islamic financing. I think it's mostly based because people, they want to make sure that their financial transactions align with their religious beliefs. The demand extends on both ways, so traditional businesses and in tech. So a lot of the tech founders and investors that I talk to on a daily basis are looking for Sharia compliant solutions. So as I said earlier, like traditionally, startups get their financing through equity financing, which is by nature Sharia compliant because, you know, an investor would give, would invest in a startup and get a stake of that startup in return. So this is by nature Sharia compliant. Where there's a need for more innovative Islamic financial solution is when it comes to non-dilutive financing, because this is a new asset class, something that has emerged over the last couple of years, and like the term that's used is venture debt, and this is where we need more innovation in terms of Sharia compliant products for tech. For us, we chose to be Sharia compliant because honestly, as founders, we want our operations to align with our religious beliefs, our culture, our principles. And the Sharia compliant financing revolves mainly around three values: transparency, fairness, and accountability, which is in line with how we operate and how we aspire to continue to operate. When I first started Capify, I did like a primary market research where I interviewed around 50 founders. And 65% in Jordan, 65% of those founders said that it would be a deal breaker if the facility was not Sharia compliant, while 75% of them said that they prefer it being a Sharia compliant. And this has given me and the team confidence in our offering. And also, you know, since our operation, like we've dealt with a lot of founders that maybe doesn't really care if the facility is Sharia compliant or not, but also don't mind if it's Sharia compliant because the Islamic financing promotes ethical and responsible investment practices. So even if they're not in favor of Sharia compliance because of their beliefs, they don't mind that there's no extra cost for being Sharia compliant. And at the end of the day, like, our mission at Capify is to empower startups to grow while maintaining control and while staying true to their own beliefs.
And when it comes to Capify's offerings, what kind of Capify offering is the most in demand, and who benefits from them? Who are your top clients? Can you tell me a little bit about the startup companies that benefit from this financing? And how do you ensure Sharia compliance with your products?
So let's start with the offering. So as you've said during the introduction, so what we do is we offer growing technology startups in the MENA region fast, Sharia-compliant, non-dilutive capital to enable their growth. We started our operation almost a year ago. So far, we've done around 6 transactions, totaling to more than, or just close to $500,000. And alhamdulillah, we're proud to say that we had 0 default rates so far. And all of these transactions were done in a Sharia-compliant murabaha format. So to ensure that we're Sharia-compliant, we closely work with a dedicated Sharia lawyer who drafts our legal contracts in line with the AYOFI standards. We're also admitted to the Malaysian Bursa, where all the execution happens, ensuring a smooth and compliant process. And currently, we're seeking a fatwa for our product from the Sharia Review Bureau. And this will, you know, give comfort to our clients, to our investors, that all our operations are in line with the Sharia. So our customers, maybe I can't disclose names, but let me tell you what, like, I believe our value proposition is. So one is the fast and streamed process. So within 2 days, you get an offer on how much we can provide you at what cost. And then within 2 weeks, you'll get the money in your bank account as a startup if you're qualified. Also, the process, transparency is key in our underwriting process. So every applicant gets a dashboard where he can see all the metrics that we calculate and all the credit scoring ranges that we use to determine the murabaha margin. So they can actually see exactly how we calculate the cost and where do they stand on the spectrum of creditworthiness and risk. And another thing is that the terms are very fixed. So if we agreed on a certain term, there wouldn't be any hidden fees. We wouldn't change the charging fees. Everything is upfront and clear.
Let's talk about your expansion plans. Perhaps let's start with the recent partnership that you have with USAID. And then we can go into your move into Saudi Arabia, which is exciting.
Yes, sure. Let me give you a little bit of a background on why we decided to go with USAID and do this partnership. So for the past year, we've been mainly focusing on the demand. We wanted to make sure that we have the right technology people, technology startups interested in Sharia compliant non-dilutive capital. And I consider ourselves as being very fortunate because the timing couldn't have been better. So as you know, like with everything that's happening in the economy, with the increase in the interest rates and the decrease in the valuations of the startup, the cycle of fundraising has become even longer than it used to be. And the valuation went down. This means that the startups will have to pay a bigger cost for financing. So the cost of equity even became more expensive. This gave a leeway for alternative financing to get introduced into the region. So, for example, venture debt has doubled in 2022 than its levels in 2021. And this is where we said, okay, now we've validated the demand. We need to work on the supply. And with USAID and also in collaboration with CrossBoundary, who are acting as our transaction advisors, we're working on raising a $10 million financing vehicle to be able to deploy it in growing technology startups in the MENA region through Sharia-compliant non-dilutive financing. The pipeline is very strong. It's mainly focused on software and SaaS startups, but also spanning across different sectors such as gaming or light asset marketplaces. We want to be able, you know, to fuel the growth of the next economy, of the digital economy. Anything that's virtual and technology related, we want to be able to finance. This partnership has given, you know, the opportunity for investors that are interested in a new Sharia compliant asset class that will generate an almost 13-16% return over a span of 12 to 18 months. And the structure is a musharaka structure. So anybody that invests in this vehicle will get 70% of whatever upside we make, which is equivalent to that amount I just mentioned. That's in terms of the USAID partnership. And moving to the expansion to Saudi, I honestly feel this is like the natural progression for us. Like, Saudi Arabia is positioning itself as the innovation hub of the region. And I really believe that at some point, Saudi Arabia will be like the Silicon Valley of MENA. The demand is high. The available capital is ample. Last year alone, by the way, venture capital investments grew by around 72%, reaching around $1 billion in funding that was done through 144 deals. And I feel like it's the place to be right now. And alhamdulillah, like, I'm very pleased to say that we've already obtained our MISA license. We're in the process of registering a subsidiary there. In fact, as we speak, like, I'm already doing screening for two Saudi startups that has applied for growth financing at Capify.
Well, listen, that's very exciting news. We certainly look forward to hearing from you on the update in the months to come. Thank you so much, Dunya.
Thank you. Thank you, Nisreen, for having me. I really enjoyed this. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. For more discussions on the Islamic finance industry, log on to www.islamicfinancenews.com. You can also listen to IFN Podcast on your favorite platforms, including iTunes and Spotify.